Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, October 7th, 2022. Murray urges parents to send kids to school. Ector County ISD's attendance rates have dipped from what they were before the COVID-19 pandemic, so Superintendent Scott Murray is encouraging families to send their children to school. During his weekly media call Wednesday, he said ECISD's current attendance rate is 91.5%. Pre-pandemic in 2018-19, it hovered around 95 to 96% of students showing up for school daily. The 91.5% rate is, quote, very low, end quote, Murray said. Quote, the concern that we have is the direct correlation between a child's attendance and a child's success in school. When children are not attending school regularly, it affects their ability to be successful in their courses. It affects their ability to learn. It affects their ability to graduate on time, end quote, Murray said. Quote, in fact, there is a direct correlation between low student attendance and high school dropout rate. We want to make sure that all of our children are attending school on a daily basis. Certainly, our parents are aware that if a child is sick, we do not want them at school. But today, COVID has subsided significantly in our community. We recognize that there may be family issues or things that come up, but we've proven in the past that our students could attend school every day, and we need to make sure that we return to that, end quote. Murray stressed that school is 5 days a week and that attendance in Texas is compulsory. Quote, it is not an option for children not to attend school, end quote, he said. Quote, it is required by law that kids up through the age of 18 are attending school on a daily basis. So again, parents, please make sure that your children are in attendance on a daily basis. That will certainly help them be much more successful during their school journey and then in life, end quote. Murray said low attendance is a nationwide problem right now. Quote, it's an effect of COVID, and our families just got out of the habit, if you will, sending their kids to school on a regular basis. Mom and dad got out of the habit, the kids got out of the habit, and now we fully expect them to be attending on a regular basis, end quote, Murray said. He added that it's not something that's impacting ECISD alone. Quote, as school systems, we're trying to work with our families to encourage them to have regular attendance. That's the primary reason. We don't have an illness happening in our community. Nothing is really discouraging that. It's simply getting back in the habit of kids attending school daily, end quote, Murray said. Asked if the string of violence and threats has lowered attendance, Murray said it could have, but low attendance is something his colleagues nationwide are dealing with. Quote, but to your point, we've had a nationwide surge in school violence, and I'm sure that does have an effect on some of our families. But I think much of it is getting back in the habit of kids and families recognizing that school is, once again, 5 days a week, and kids need to be physically present every day in order to learn, end quote, he said. Quote, there may be a lot of subcategories and a lot of other reasons that families on any given day may not be attending school, end quote, Murray added. He noted that Friday and Monday tend to be low attendance days. Quote, people taking a long weekend when we don't have a long weekend, end quote. The state's snapshot days to which school funding is tied are in October and March. Quote, the state takes a snapshot of how many kids we are serving in our schools. That is how we are funded on those snapshot days. Certainly, Texas ties funding to school attendance, but for us, the primary reason is academics. There's a direct correlation between a child's success in school and how much they attend school, how many days they're physically present. And in Texas, it's the law. Our students are required to attend school, and so that compulsory education law is in effect, end quote, Murray said. He added that World Teacher Day was October 5th and is a chance to reflect on a teacher who had a positive impact on you or your children or is a friend or neighbor. Murray said that this is a time to reach out to those teachers and let them know how much you appreciate them. This is also Rivalry Week in ECISD as Odessa and Permian High Schools face off in Football Friday. There is also a long weekend coming up. Everyone is off Monday for Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day. Ready to take the field. OHS, PHS take part in Bands of America. Odessa and Permian High Schools will be taking part in the 2022 Bands of America West Texas Regional Championship at Estown Broadband Stadium Saturday. Hosted by the Midland Legacy High School Band and Boosters, the Bands of America West Texas Regional Championship will feature 28 marching bands in preliminary competition. a panel of nationally recognized music educators and marching band experts will evaluate the bands. The top 12 scoring bands will advance to the evening finals competition. The event will include an exhibition performance by the West Texas A&M University, the Sound of West Texas Buffalo Marching Band, a news release said. OHS will be the first on the field at 7:30 a.m., band director Sonia Campos said. Quote, this will be my first Bands of America competition as a director of bands at a high school. So it's definitely exciting times, end quote, Campos said. Quote, we're definitely looking forward to it. The kids have been working extremely hard. We just can't wait to get out there and showcase what they've been working on, end quote. They cannot go past 8 minutes, but their full show is around 7 minutes and 15 seconds, she said. They started practicing for this during summer band in July and have been at it ever since. Quote, the kids have really taken on a different gear the past couple of weeks, and we're really excited to see what they can make happen after working so hard for so long, end quote, Campos said. She added that the students are equally as excited about the face-off between OHS and Permian High School in the rivalry game today as they are about Saturday's competition. Quote, that's all the hype that there is right now, honestly, is the Permian game, and now we're heading into this big competition month. So they're definitely excited for the Permian game. They're really looking forward to watching the Permian show, slightly, of course, because we'll be performing as well in the halftime show. But they're really excited to see what they've been up to, and I'm sure our Permian friends are just as excited to see what we've been up to, end quote, Campos said. This is the only Bands of America contest that both high schools will participate in, but BOA has regional contests all around the country. Quote, but there is an opportunity for them to make the finals performance in the evening time, so the prelims go all the way until 5 p.m. on that day. And we're the first group to perform at 7:30 a.m., end quote, Campos said. The students will perform and stay all day for the preliminaries to observe the other groups. Quote, it's a great teaching tool, learning for the students as well, to see other 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds do the same things that they're trying to do, end quote, Campos said. She wants students to talk about what the other groups are learning to ensure that they're always learning. It's definitely a journey, and we're definitely enjoying that journey. We're excited for the end result, but we're taking every moment in, and we're really ensuring that we are in the moment, regardless if it's a 7 a.m. rehearsal or a 6 p.m. rehearsal. They really have been working really hard, and I'm really enjoying just being part of the process with this group of kids. They're definitely special, especially with this being my inaugural season as a head band director, end quote, she added. PHS band director Jeff Whitaker will bring a little more than 300 students to the contest. Quote, the contest itself is one of our most exciting events that we get to go to every year, end quote, Whitaker said. His band will perform at 9:15 a.m., and they will also have about 8 minutes. Quote, we'll have bands from out of state here, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and we'll have groups that we would never see at any UIL contest, end quote, Whitaker said, adding that there are smaller schools, like 5A, that have wonderful band programs. Quote, it's really a unique opportunity for our kids to experience what band is like at other schools and see what they're able to create in those other programs. On the other side of that is our adjudicators, end quote, who come from out of state and have never seen the Permian band, Whitaker said. The band will be able to get feedback from them, and when the contest is done, they can conference with the judges. Quote, we'll bring our video from the contest and we'll show it to our judge, and they'll walk us through that even though we've already gotten their commentary and we've heard what they have to say about it. We'll get to have questions for them and they can ask us questions. We'll get to discuss new ideas and new directions that we can go, and it certainly helps us grow as a program, and it helps us as a staff grow as teachers to get that feedback from these professionals, end quote, Whitaker said. Overall, he said the band has been a joy to work with. Quote, it's exciting to see what we do, and it seems from the student's standpoint that they seem excited, even in a performance. For example, this morning, as we get closer to the contest, we'll do bigger runs and start doing the more Hollywood side, I guess I should say, of their performance, end quote, Whitaker said. He added that he's looking forward to seeing all the bands that are there, but he tries to get caught up in what the other groups are doing. They are planning to participate in the Duncanville Marching Invitational, which PHS last went to in 2019. Whitaker said it fundamentally changed them as a program because they got to compete against powerhouse bands from the DFW area. Like OHS, Permian will head out on Little Sleep to the Bands of America event, quote, and mixing it up with those other schools is going to be a different type of experience, end quote, Whitaker said. Campos earned a bachelor's degree in music education from the University of Texas at Austin and was in band for 5 years. Her instrument is the French horn. She is in her 10th year as a band director. Campos started at Goddard Junior High in Midland and was at Crockett Middle School before moving to OHS. The transition from middle to high school has been different, she said. Quote, there's different battles, if you will, and there's just a different approach. You have our kids at the high school level that already have a set of skills, and you're just trying to build upon those. At the middle school level, they have no skills, per se, if you will, in the music world. So you're building those from scratch. Those are beautiful times as well. So I love both middle school and high school, so the fact that I get the opportunity to be the head high school band director and still go help our feeder system, that's the moneymaker right there, is just being able to see the true process from beginner level all the way up to high school level. It's pretty neat, end quote, Campos said. She helps out at Bowie and Crockett Middle Schools and is some Crockett musicians at OHS this year. Quote, I would say 60% of the program here. We lost Ector just due to it becoming a charter, so it's been a challenge, but we're small but mighty is how I like to describe us, because they've done a heck of a job. Just stepping up to the plate and just really exploring their extremes and being okay with being pushed to the limits and really achieving a lot just with volume, sound, and ability to march and play at the same time. So we keep growing each and every rep that we put in, and it's a beautiful thing to see, end quote, Campos said. They now have a total of 185 students in band, which is up from what they had this summer. Campos is looking forward to taking her students to see bands, not only from this area, but other parts of Texas and New Mexico. She's looking forward to seeing the band from Duncanville and Clovis, New Mexico. Quote, they've had much success at BOA, Bands of America, in the past, so we're really excited to have our students be able to experience that, end quote, Campos said. Music for All will present the Bands of America West Texas Regional Championship at Astound Broadband Stadium, 801 North Loop 250 West, Midland, Texas, 79703. Ticket prices are $23 for prelims, $23 for finals, or $36 for an all-day pass when ordered in advance. Tickets are $7 more per ticket when purchased on-site at the event. Children 10 years or 10 years old or younger are admitted free for general admission seating. Visit marching.musicforall.org/Midland22 to see the event schedule and order tickets online. This is a chance for people to see a lot of bands at once. Quote, anybody should really take the time to support the fine arts, particularly the band programs. They're just so important. Fine arts in general are just so important to the well-being and growth of our younger generations. I think everybody should be in a fine arts class at some point in their lives, end quote, Campos said. Odessan accused of political sign theft. According to the Ector County Sheriff's Office, a 79-year-old woman who was upset a political sign for a Democrat had been posted near FM 1936 and 16th Street was cited Wednesday for theft of property after having it removed. According to an ECSO report, Savannah Morales, who is the Democrat nominee for Ector County Commissioner in Precinct 4, called ECSO and told them somebody gave her video of people from two vehicles taking a campaign sign down near that intersection. A deputy found one of the vehicles at a location on West 20th, and the man at that location told him that Barbara Jones told him to remove a sign because the owner of the sign had not done so despite being told to, the report stated. When contacted on the phone, Jones told the deputy she'd contacted the property owner, Renee Molinar, and asked him why he had a Democrat sign on his property, according to the report. She further stated Molinar told her to remove the sign. Jones further stated she'd contacted the Republican Party to tell them what was going on, and Mayor Javier Jovan informed her he'd tell Morales to stop placing signs on property without permission. Jones told the deputy she never told Morales she was having the sign removed because she assumed Jovan had already contacted her, the report stated. Jones was informed that, quote, the mayor had no control of anything outside of the city limits, end quote, the report stated. Jovan did not respond to an email sent to him Thursday. A further investigation revealed the sign Jones had in her possession and a second sign that had been stolen from the same area had both been placed on state land and not private property as Jones claimed, according to the report. An investigator went to Jones' home on Wednesday, and while there, he located the second vehicle seen in the video, according to the report. Jones removed a sign from the back of her van, gave it to the deputy, and she was cited for theft of property a Class C misdemeanor with a fine of up to $500. In a phone interview Thursday, Morales said signs belonging to her opponent, Republican Billy Hall, were placed in the same location where her stolen signs had been. Having worked for the county, Morales said she knows she can only place signs in public right-of-ways and on private property where she has permission. The stolen signs were on public right-of-way. She has had at least one other sign stolen, Morales said. Quote, I think this is the Republican Party acting crazy, end quote, Morales said. Morales said she never received a call from Chauvin, but after a county Republican Party chairwoman, Tisha Crow, informed her chairperson that she could expect to have more signs, quote, lawfully confiscated, end quote, if she continued to put them on private property. Odessan found not guilty. Aguilar was accused of running over teen. An Ector County jury Thursday deliberated about 3 hours before rendering a not guilty verdict in the case of a West Odessa man accused of purposely hitting a teenager twice with his truck last spring. Homero Villa Aguilar, 25, was facing one count of injury to a child with intent to cause serious bodily injury in the 244th Ector County District Court. According to Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Kevin Schulz and Henry Eccles, Aguilar purposely ran down Homero Sarion Jr., 15, twice on April 17, 2021, after a violent fight with Carrion's sister, Leza, Aguilar's common-law wife. Aguilar, 25, testified he struck Carrion with his truck just once, and only because the teenager was pointing a gun at him. Carrion testified he'd spent the day on his family's property on South Blackfoot Avenue in West Odessa, tending to their roosters, hens, horses, and other animals. That evening, Carrion said he was returning from the family stables when he heard yelling from the recreational vehicle his sister and Aguilar shared. When he stepped inside, Carrion testified he saw the bathroom door was broken, a pot was on the ground, and his sister Leza was crying. She told him Aguilar had hit her. A short time later, Carrion decided to walk to his house a short distance away on the same property, leaving Leza in the travel trailer with their mother, Mercedes, and his 3-year-old niece, Maya Leza. As he started to head home, he heard Aguilar's truck suddenly accelerate, and the next thing he knew, he was being hit by it. Quote, it hit my left leg, and I bounced against the RV, end quote, Carrion said. Aguilar, who hit the RV with the truck as well, threw the truck into reverse, and as he tried to run away, Aguilar struck him again, this time pinning him against the RV, Carrion said. Aguilar then fled the scene. He spent months in the hospital and going through physical therapy and now has to wear a colostomy bag. During closing arguments Thursday, defense attorney Israel Guardiola warned jurors that empathy might lead them to believe Carrion's story, but there were several inconsistencies in the stories Carrion's family told authorities that night and what they said on the stand. For example, Leza Carrion told deputies Aguilar hit her brother once. Quote, since it was such an egregious act, she wouldn't have said he only did it once, end quote, Guardiola said. He reminded the jurors that although the family denied owning a gun, there's a photo on Homer Carrion Sr.'s Facebook page of him with a holster on his hip and a gun in it. The picture was taken 4 months before the incident. Quote, if someone hits you, dad's going to come running, mom's going to come running, and your brother's going to come running, and unfortunately in this case, brother brought a gun, end quote, Guardiola said. Schulz began closing argument showing the jurors the body cam video of one of the first deputies on the scene. In it, a nearly hysterical Leza Carrion and her equally emotional mother tell the deputies what they witnessed. The prosecutor told the jurors that the defense would have them believe that in the minutes after Homero Jr. was hit, they stopped, hid the gun, and concocted a story about what happened in order to get vengeance against Aguilar. Quote, the people in this situation are losing their cookies, end quote, Schulz said, pointing to the video. To think they came up with such a story is, quote, fundamentally unreasonable, end quote, Schulz said. Schulz asked the jury to think how they would react if they thought someone they loved was dying and if they'd be able to recall every second and every minute that happened immediately beforehand. Leza Carrion in that moment simply forgot to tell the first deputies on the scene her brother was hit twice, Schulz said. She felt the first hit, went outside, and saw the second hit, he said. Her father, however, immediately told deputies his son was hit twice, Schulz said. Quote, how do we know he knew what he did was wrong? End quote, Schulz asked of Aguilar. Quote, he ran away, end quote. Schulz reminded jurors that Homero Sr. testified that it was Aguilar who brought the gun to his house in December 2020, and it was Aguilar who took the picture of him wearing it on his hip. The only gun Homero Sr. has was bought 2 months after the incident, and he brought the receipt to court to prove it. Schulz also questioned Aguilar's story of running into a friend at Pilot and getting a ride to Mexico. He suggested Aguilar called his buddy after leaving his truck at his aunt's because he knew it would be easier to find his truck and him if they were out on the road. Why would Aguilar hit Carrion? Schulz asked. Because he was drunk, possibly high and angry, Schulz said. Schulz told the jurors there's a word for Aguilar's story, and it starts with a B and has an S in it. Quote, let's do some justice, end quote, Schulz urged the jury. All of the jurors declined to comment as they left the courthouse Thursday evening. Judge James Rush presided over the trial. Children's author discusses bullying prevention. For award-winning children's author Claudia Villarreal, there are two important items that she hopes readers learn from her. The first one is that there are no limits to what anyone can achieve regardless of their background. The second is to be kind and accepting. Villarreal, who was born in Laredo and now lives in San Antonio, shared her thoughts on the subject of bullying to faculty and students at an event Thursday afternoon at Odessa College at the Jack Rogers Auditorium. Quote, no matter your nationality or background is, you can do and become and set out to be what you want to be and start making differences, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, it doesn't matter that we don't make a difference in the world, but if we make a difference to each other, even our neighbors, it counts. The biggest takeaway is that, one, no matter where you're from, strive for the best, and number two, strive to teach the best to others as well, and be kind and accepting, end quote. The event was a part of Hispanic Heritage Month, but also coincides with Bullying Prevention Month. Quote, I was told that they were honoring and doing presentations here during Hispanic Heritage Month, and they asked if I could come, and I said yes, it would be an honor, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, we decided to do this in October because it coincides with National Bullying Prevention Month, so I was brought here to talk about both things. I loved it. I'm glad I was invited over to present to the faculty, staff, and students at Odessa College, end quote. Villarreal has held different jobs, which includes being an actress as well as a teacher and business owner, in addition to a children's author. It wasn't until recently when she was drawn to become a children's author. Quote, I didn't choose to be an author, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, I was always a teacher and an actress, but being an author chose me. Both stories came to me in the middle of the night. I woke up and wrote them down, and I thought, what wonderful stories. Because I was a teacher, I really wanted to share these stories, so that's what made me want to be an author. That's why I pursued it, end quote. So far, Villarreal has written two books, The Alphabet Thief Who Stole the Vowels, which has sold close to 25,000 copies to date, and The Bully Who Learned to Love. It wasn't until 2018 when Villarreal started penning her second book, which was The Bully Who Learned Love. The book was published a year later. The goal of her book, targeted for readers ages 4 through 8, is to open dialogue about diversity and bullying. Quote, I'm so passionate about the subject, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, not just because I was bullied, but because now more than ever, I want to focus on being able to accept people's differences. Now, we worry that they don't have the same opinions as us, and I want to bring us together, and it starts when we're 7 or 8, because that's when we're forming our personalities. So the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I love the message. I want to do this and spread it to as many kids as I can, because those kids that become kind and become accepting will grow up to be adults that are kind and accepting, end quote. The style of her books are written in a style similar to that of Dr. Seuss. Quote, they were the books that I read to my kindergartners, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, Dr. Seuss is one of my favorite authors. The rhyming and everything kept kids' attentions, and that's the reason I chose to write it in the same style, because he was such a big influence on me. He's done wonderful works, end quote. Villarreal signed copies of her books after Thursday's event. She's currently working on her third book and is hopeful to have it out soon. Quote, I don't have a title for my third book yet, but it does come back to The Alphabet Thief, end quote, Villarreal said. Quote, that'll probably be ready in 6 months, end quote. ECISD teachers, they can dig it. A sense of wonder was restored for Ector County ISD teachers who took part in a 3-day professional development dig in the Dallas area, where they found shark's teeth, mesosaurus teeth, and amenities. Organized by the Dallas Paleontological Society, the dig provided access to private property for teacher exploration. Property owners donated fossils for teachers' classrooms and for the Shark Finder Citizen Science Program. Along with ECISD Chief Innovation Officer Jason Osborne, the teachers were accompanied on a 3-day trip by paleontologists Bob Williams and Roger Farish. They went to Fossil Ridge Ranch, Moss Creek Ranch, and the North Sulphur River. University of Texas Permian Basin and Southern Methodist University are using the fossil data collected by students and teachers. Crockett Middle School art teacher Priscilla Hernandez and UTPB STEM first grade teacher Sarah Griffin and kindergarten teacher Alexis Machuca were among those participating. Griffin said she said yes right away when asked if she wanted to go. Quote, they actually didn't even really tell us very much about what we were going to be doing. Even when we were there, it was kind of a surprise, but they did that on purpose, end quote, Griffin said. Machuca said the instructions were vague. They were told what to bring, such as hiking boots, snacks, and cleaning wipes. When they got to Moss Creek, they drove through bushes and, quote, kind of went off-roading, end quote, Griffin said. She added that, quote, people who knew what they were doing, end quote, found good spots to look for fossils and shark teeth. Quote, they got us in a circle and showed us this handful of mud, and they were like, there's a lot of shark's teeth in here, end quote, Griffin said. Machuca said, when you looked at it, they were black and shiny, and there seemed to be a lot. The teachers were given 5-gallon buckets to see what they could find, and they filled them up. After they filled up the buckets that they were going to bring back for students, they were allowed to walk around and dig for stuff for themselves. Griffin said they went into a deep creek, and a paleontologist and ECISD Chief Innovation Officer Jason Osborne pointed to places where they could dig. They went to another site along the North Sulphur River, and someone found a whole Mesosaurus vertebrae, Machuca said. Griffin said the paleontologist told them that the North Sulphur River was unique because it was a very slow-moving river, and when it would flood, the farmland would flood. The farmers wanted to make it into more of a channel, so they dug it deep and straight. Quote, so now what happens is when it floods is the water rushes in there and flows real fast, and then it dries out. So when you go up there, the riverbed is really empty, so you can walk around in there and find fossils. And every time it rains, more of them get uncovered, so after every rain, you can go out there and find new things, end quote, Griffin said. As an adult, many times you would probably walk over things that could be special, Griffin said. Quote, I felt like a kid out there because you found all these rocks and you're curious about it. What is this? What could it be? Is it this or is it that? End quote, Machuca said. Griffin added that you wonder why this artifact here and not in another spot. How do you know where to look for them? Quote, some of them were so big because that second place we went had these huge amenities. They were like 100 pounds, and then we were all trying to pull them out. At first, because it was so vague when we were getting ready to go, I was thinking we were going to be lucky if we came home with something. And then when we got out there, and Machuca said, it's like shopping, I had to pick my favorite one, end quote, Griffin said. She added that the second day, they took all the stuff out of their backpacks to make room for the fossils. Their discoveries will be used in the Shark Finder program. Quote, that's really why we went out there, is we went and dug up all that dirt and filled up all those 5-gallon buckets. We brought all that dirt back. They call it Matrix, and then as teachers sign up to do Shark Finder, they'll bring that dirt into different classrooms, and the kids will get a sample, and then they learn how to sort through it and find fossils out of it, end quote, Griffin said. Quote, it's going to be really exciting because the dirt was so full of shark's teeth that when the kids get it in the classroom, there's no way they're not going to find something, so I can only imagine how exciting it's going to be. We signed up for March, so we have to wait, but a lot of schools are already starting to do it, end quote, Griffin added. Machuca said the students already love fossils and dinosaurs, especially in kindergarten. When she showed them the fossils she brought back, the students were amazed. Quote, I tell them they're almost 80 million years old, end quote, Machuca said. Quote, it's funny because they don't realize and comprehend how long ago that is. They just know it's a long time ago, end quote. Griffin said she showed her students fossils, and then a student brought in fossils that his dad found. Quote, his dad works in the oil field and digs up stuff as they're working, end quote, Griffin said. Machuca said now when she walks outside, she looks at a rock and wonders if it's a fossil. As with Griffin and Machuca, this was Hernandez's first fossil dig. Quote, it's just completely different once you're out there. And then when you're out there and you're digging, I'm just speechless. Just to be out there digging, it's almost like you're playing in the dirt. But to be in the environment knowing it was once covered in water and there's all kinds of sea life, end quote, Hernandez said. Quote, you're just in awe. That's where I was, end quote, she added. Hernandez said she found one piece that she couldn't take back because it was so embedded in the ground. Quote, it's just an unexplainable thing. Like I said, I'm definitely going back, end quote, she said. Hernandez said it was kind of strange not knowing all the details of the trip, but she knew they were going to be hiking in the water. Quote, I prepared myself, end quote, Hernandez said. She added that she was the only secondary teacher who was invited. quote, it was an honor to be included in the group with science teachers. I had heard about them going before. As I found out, within a couple of days, I got on Amazon and Columbia websites and ordered me some hiking boots and water shoes, end quote, Hernandez said. She also took sunblock, bug spray, and other essentials. Quote, it was tiring. It was really physically tiring, end quote, she said. She had to have help to empty her backpack, put in the fossils and put it back on. She put her things in a grocery bag. Then they had to climb out of a creek. But if you asked her if she would do it again, she'd say, quote, in a heartbeat, I'd definitely do it again, end quote. Hernandez said she would definitely encourage other teachers to take advantage of the paleontological trips and to use SharkFinder in their classrooms. Quote, I think the experience is just really awesome. It really is, truly. Who can say that they've dug up 70, 80 million-year-old fossils? End quote, Hernandez said. She added that sometimes you have to show students something or let them hold it in their hands before they believe it, even though they can find images of it online. Being able to touch the artifacts, quote, gives it a totally different experience, end quote, she added. Along with Griffin, Machuca, and Hernandez, other participating teachers were Natalie Beza, fifth grade teacher at Gonzales Elementary, Erica Pocatera, fifth grade, Hayes Elementary, Andrea Soto Marino, fifth grade, Goliad Elementary, Sarah Hawkins, science, Travis Elementary, and Rebecca Bug, fifth grade, Dowling Elementary. Edward Corrales, fourth grade, Ireland Elementary, was expected to go but couldn't make it. A Monster Calls, emotional play to take the stage at MCT. Midland. Connor, 13, keeps waking up from the same nightmare he has been experiencing for months. Suddenly a voice calls to him from outside his bedroom window, and the main character of the play walks to the window to meet the monster who called. What follows is a series of stories told by the monster and Connor that tell the audience members why the monster came and why Connor has been having nightmares. That and more can be expected in the Midland Community Theater's upcoming production, A Monster Calls. The show opens at 7:30 p.m. today and runs through October 16th with six total shows. Director Bill Williams, who has done a number of shows at MCT, including Matilda, the musical, back in July. Quote, ever since I read the book and saw the movie, A Monster Calls, I loved the material, end quote, Williams said. Quote, I always thought it would make an interesting play, especially for a teen acting company. It deals with many issues that teens encounter as they grow up. I learned that the play had been done by the Old Vic in England and was excited to get the script and have MCT produce it, end quote. The show is a heartfelt and intimate story about coping with illness and loss. A film adaptation of the play came out in 2016. Quote, it is a wonderful story full of emotion, end quote, Williams said. Quote, it is about family, love, and grief. It covers many issues that young people have to go through, such as finding acceptance, dealing with life issues, and even bullying. It is a play that really speaks to me and has a lot of heart to it. The other aspect that I enjoy is that it's done in story theater style. Costumes are simple and there isn't a large set. The story is told through solid acting, lights, projections, and sound, end quote. The play is a moving story about a boy who feels very damaged, guilty, and mostly angry. He struggles at school with either bullies or those that show him too much pity. Home life is not much better as he is dealing with his mother's illness and a demanding grandmother. Quote, at night he is visited by a yew tree monster who tells him stories that not only teach, but also help him in dealing with his difficult issues, end quote, Williams said. Quote, the yew tree monster gets Connor to reveal his truth, which, in the end, will free him, end quote. Williams says rehearsals have been going well so far, mentioning that it's a, quote, demanding piece of theater, end quote. Quote, the ensemble members are required to play numerous roles, end quote, Williams said. Quote, there is a lot of movement in the play, and it requires a lot of focus and concentration. The young actors in this production have risen to the occasion, end quote. The role of Connor for this production is double cast with Yano Wallace and Alex Wolston, both playing the lead role. Quote, I enjoy hanging out with other people and experience what Connor's going through, end quote, Wallace said, who is a freshman at Hillcrest in Midland. Quote, he's going through all of this, and then it just kind of breaks toward the end, end quote. This is Wallace's first show at Midland Community Theater, and he was surprised by his casting as one of the lead characters. Quote, I was not expecting it, end quote, Wallace said. Quote, I thought I would get a small role, but instead I got the big role, end quote. The role of Connor's mother is another double cast with Hope Newbro and Paula Patron. Quote, the main part about her character is that in the play, she's often portrayed as sick, end quote, Patron, who is a sophomore at Midland Young Women's Academy. Quote, it's sort of her downfall. end quote. Quote, at the beginning, she comes off as pretty strong and just herself, but as the treatments keep going, she then spirals down with her cancer. It doesn't specify what it is, but she's struggling with it internally and externally. She's trying to convince herself that she's going to be fine for Connor, her son. She's trying to convince herself that as well. She's going through a lot, both physically and emotionally, end quote. For a patron, this is her fourth play at Midland Community Theater, having previously done Frog and Toad, Matilda, and Peter the Starcatcher. Patron says it's taken a lot of research to play this role. Quote, other than just learning lines, I have to think about the character and analyze to see how I want to portray the character and how to best portray the character from something that I have not had any experience with, end quote, Patron said. Quote, that's been a challenge, but it's been nice, end quote. Playing the role as the grandma is both Karen Ortega and Amani Shaw. Quote, it's been really fun, end quote, Shaw said of the play, and as a freshman at Midland Christian. Quote, it's been a definite change, but also a change that's been really good. The cast has been really good, too. That cast itself has been really fun to be around. It's been a fun and safe place. It's definitely a place I look forward to coming to after school, end quote. Shaw says this is her third play at Midland Community Theater, having also been involved with Peter the Starcatcher and Matilda. Quote, very excited for opening night, end quote, Shaw said. Quote, I think opening nights have a special feeling to them, especially after being around so close to the cast. You have all these fun memories to share, and you look forward to cast parties and bonding. It's all fun, end quote. Cassett in the Basin returns. Next week, members of the New York-based Cassett String Quartet will be visiting the Permian Basin again. As in past years, the members will both perform and coach string students in Odessa and Midland. The musical education program is also known as Cassett in the Basin, which has brought the quartet to West Texas biannually for almost 20 years. The program was founded by Cassett String Quartet violinist Jennifer Lesnauer, who was originally from Odessa. The quartet's last visit to the Permian Basin was back in May. Quote, we always look forward to being in West Texas, and for me, personally, it's coming home, end quote. Lesnauer said, in addition to coaching youth string musicians in the area, the quartet also plays numerous concerts, ranging from retirement homes to the schools and museums as well. This fall, one new performance goes along with a story time at Ector County Library. Quote, this particular visit, the Ector County Library is new for us to work together, end quote, Lesnauer said. Quote, we're going to offer music that illustrates the story that the person will be reading, and that will enrich the program that is already happening at the library. There's something magical about storytelling combined with music. That's going to be wonderful, end quote. The week of activities begins Sunday when the string quartet will coach the Midland Odessa Youth Orchestra from 2 to 4 p.m. At 1 p.m. Monday, an outreach concert will take place at Manor Park Retirement Home at 2208 North Loop 250 West in Midland, followed by a coaching Young Women's Leadership Academy from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at 1800 East Wall Street in Midland. Tuesday will include coaching Midland High School students from 12:40 to 3:10 p.m., followed by a 4 p.m. outreach concert at Polo Park Estates at 2100 Castleford Road in Midland. From 10 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday will be the quartet's performance at the Ector County Library. They will later be coaching Compass Academy students from 1:45 to 2:35 p.m. Wednesday. Thursday will include an outreach concert from 8:15 to 9:45 a.m. at Midland Montessori School at 1011 Austin Street. The quartet will also be doing story, music, crafts, and coffee at Museum of the Southwest in Midland at 10 a.m. Friday. Quote, we're collaborating with Museum of the Southwest again, end quote, Lesnauer said. Quote, we're going to work with Manor Park Retirement Home for the first time as well as the Young Women's Leadership Academy. Since we are an all-female string quartet, I think we serve as role models for the young ladies, end quote. Most of the events throughout the week take place in the Odessa Midland area, with the exception of October 14th and October 15th. A Cassett Quartet recital featuring bass player and Texas Tech University professor Mark Morton at 7:30 p.m. next Friday at Buddy Holly Hall in Lubbock. A chamber music masterclass will take place from 10 a.m. to noon October 15th at Texas Tech University's Hemel Recital Hall to conclude the week. The Cassett String Quartet also includes Maneko Otani on violin, Rosemary Nellis on viola, and Gwen Krosnick on cello. All four members were in the Permian Basin on their last visit in May. Quote, I'm thrilled, end quote, Krosnick said, who mentioned that she had not been to West Texas prior to last May. quote, I joined the Cassatt Quartet last season, and without a doubt, Cassatt and the Basin, our week there in May, was one of the many highlights, end quote. Krosnick said one of her favorite parts about coming to the West Texas for Cassatt and the Basin is teaching the younger students. Quote, the teaching has been one of my personal favorite things to do, and it always has been, end quote, Krosnick said. Quote, when I was in the process of auditioning and joining the quartet, learning about Cassatt and the Basin was a joy because I realized that this was built-in time. We were going to work with students that might not otherwise have been able to work with a string quartet that is from New York City. Might not get to hear playing and get teaching from four women who are serious classical musicians. It's a pleasure getting to work with kids that might not have access, end quote. Krosnick grew up outside of New York City. Quote, I went to concerts all the time as a kid, end quote, Krosnick said. Quote, I started playing when I was very young. In some ways, I took that for granted. I was starstruck coming to West Texas, but it's really enjoyable to connect the bridges and fill in some of the gaps and access that these kids might have to classical music, to getting string teaching from guest artists. It's just giving kids the opportunity to hear live music and say, wow, this makes me hear something. I want to explore this some more. It's such a joy to work with these kids and see the light bulbs go off. It's great to get to share what we get to do with them. She has been playing the cello, end quote. She has been playing the cello for almost 30 years now. Quote, I started when I was 7, which for most classical musicians, I would say that's in the middle range, end quote, Krosnick said. Quote, some of the members of the quartet started when they were 3, so 7 was a little older. I didn't get serious about it until high school. That's also a pleasure of getting to work with the kids because these kids are still in middle school and high school and trying to decide what they want to do. And it's wonderful to get to share something that we love with them and show them that this is something that we've been building our lives around and they can have that as well, end quote. Cassatt and the Basin was started in 2005. Quote, the idea is to enrich West Texas at both the community and the music programs with the Cassatt String Quartet performances and education programs and collaborate with artists locally and also institutions like the library and museums, etc., end quote, Lesnauer said. For more information about Cassatt and the Basin, go to tinyurl.com/3WP3N8ZJ. Asleep at the Wheel to perform with West Texas Symphony. When Ray Benson was asked if he ever imagined that his band, Asleep at the Wheel, would still be around after 50 years, he could only laugh. Quote, no way, end quote, Benson, the lead singer and founder, said during a phone interview. Quote, my plan was to go 10 years, make a record, buy a farm, and play the guitar on the weekends, end quote. However, like any other successful band, fate would play a different role. The band was founded in 1970 and has since been part of the American roots music landscape. Asleep at the Wheel got its start on a farm in Pawpaw, West Virginia. But it wasn't long before it became a cornerstone of the Austin scene upon its arrival in 1973. The group is inspired by Western swing and honky-tonk country, and over the years has garnered numerous awards, including Grammys. Quote, the first part was to make a country-western hit record, which we did, and play at the Grand Ole Opry, which we also did, end quote, Benson said of the band's early years. Asleep at the Wheel will return to the Permian Basin this weekend in a concert with the West Texas Symphony, beginning at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. It won't be the first time the band has played alongside the West Texas Symphony, with their last concert coming a few years ago. By popular demand, the West Texas Symphony was able to bring back Asleep at the Wheel for this weekend's performance. Quote, it's great, end quote, Benson said. Quote, I think this is our second time performing alongside the orchestra, and it's a lot of fun to do all these songs with an orchestra. There are a lot of fiddles, end quote. While Benson has been the mainstay for the band, other members of Asleep at the Wheel have come and gone over the years. Quote, it's personnel-wise that has changed, end quote, Benson said. Quote, we've had about 100 people play in the band. I was fortunate enough to be trusted with this musical odyssey. There were 3 of us to start, and we added people over the years while others left. We kept the consistency and have kept up with the changes, end quote. It was more than 50 years ago when Benson, as a 19-year-old, wrote in his journal that he wanted to form a band to bring the roots of American pop music into the present. Benson has been able to do just that. Quote, as a 19-year-old, you have some lofty goals, end quote, Benson said. Quote, it's very satisfying to know that that was what I was thinking at the time, besides having fun playing music. Benson talked about how the band's early years saw a country that was politically divided, much like today, and how that shaped the country music scene. Quote, my generation was trying to get away from country music because of the political divides, like the war in Vietnam and the civil rights movement, end quote, Benson said. Quote, I just said, look, if you can ignore the political ramifications, this music has great soul, great artistic merit. End quote. The band would pay its dues early on by touring as country singer Stoney Edwards' band in 1971. A year later, their United Artists debut album did well in Oklahoma and Texas, and a year later, the group moved to Austin. Benson says the big heroes for the group included Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. One of the band's compositions, quote, The Letter That Johnny Walker Read, end quote, became a national top 10 country hit in 1975. The band would continue to ride success. That is, until a brief time in the 80s, when the group faced an uncertain future. Quote, There have been times, like in the early 80s, where the disco thing almost killed us, end quote, Benson said. Quote, From 1981 to 1986, I didn't have a record deal. I was able to diversify what I do, so I helped produce Budweiser ads and worked with Katie Lang. I did voiceover work just to keep the engine going. A number of people, including my ex-wife, asked why I was spending money on this band when we needed a new car. But we needed 8 or 9 people to carry this tradition. That was a real sacrifice through the 80s. I had to remortgage my house twice to pay for the band, end quote. However, the band has since pulled through and gotten back on the map. The 90s saw the group playing regularly between 180 and 200 dates a year, and the band has stayed busy traveling. It was hard for Benson to pinpoint what his favorite stage has been to perform on. Quote, Well, that would be two separate answers, end quote, Benson said. Quote, My favorites are the smallest, most insignificant theaters. But the George Strait tour venues are pretty cool, and the Willie Nelson 4th of July picnics and concerts. It's always been touring with our heroes. We've toured with Bob Dylan. That's pretty cool. It goes on from there. Willie Nelson to Merle Haggard to Glenn Campbell, guys who I revered who have invited us on stage and collaborated with us in the studios. That's about as exciting as you can get. That's why I got into this mess in the first place. I really enjoy playing with these people, and to play with them on the same level playing field is awesome, end quote. The group doesn't aim to stop anytime soon. Quote, I got a whole bunch of new folks, end quote, Benson said. Quote, We have some young fiddlers. Some of the older folks have been with us for 30 years, but had to take care of their families, so we have some younger people now. We'll have shows in France in November, and who knows? There's a lot of great stuff in the future, end quote. Camp Nicole to perform at WNPAC. Grammy-nominated Christian singer-songwriter, singer Jeremy Camp's excitement level for this year's I Still Believe tour has been incomparable to his previous tours. The singer, who grew up in a small town called Lafayette, Indiana, has been eager for this year's tour and hasn't taken anything for granted since the pandemic started. It's one of the things where I think I felt more excitement and more refreshed than ever before, because for a long time, we couldn't play, so you realize how much heart goes into this, end quote, Camp said. Quote, There's been a lot of preparation. In the spring, we had some shows, but the fact that we're able to step into a full tour and really share what's been going on the last few years is great, end quote. His tour will continue this fall, making a stop at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Sunday. Quote, The night is going to be a full production and have all the roller coaster of the night, end quote, Camp said. Quote, There's laughing, crying, jumping up and down, and worshiping. There's all this stuff going on. Really, the heart of it is to share the depth of what has happened these past couple of years, end quote. He will be joined on the tour by a young, up-and-coming Christian music singer, Katie Nicole. Nicole has garnered number one on multiple Billboard charts with her viral debut single, quote, In Jesus' Name, God if Possible, end quote, which holds the record for the longest-held number one debut single for a female on both the Christian Airplay at 9 weeks and Hot Christian Songs, 18 weeks charts. Quote, Of course, Katie Nicole has been incredible these past couple of years, end quote, Camp said. Quote, She's been great. Her songs have been really impacting this generation right now. I'm excited to have her come along and be a part of that. Her heart is in it as well. She wants to be a minister and share what God's done with her life. I think it's going to be an incredible performance, end quote. Nicole is currently top 5 on the Billboard Emerging Artist chart, while, quote, In Jesus' Name, God if Possible, end quote, has been at number 1 on the iTunes Christian and Gospel Songs chart nearly every week since it was released on January 26th. This will be her first performance in West Texas. Quote, I'm pretty stoked, end quote, Nicole said. Quote, Texas is pretty big. It's like its own place. It feels separate from the country. It's pretty good, end quote. Nicole, who currently resides in Nashville, Tennessee, talked about how her viral debut has impacted her life. Quote, That was so awesome, end quote, Nicole said. Quote, It changed my life in a lot of ways. I'm just grateful for the impact the songs have made on so many lives and just the way God's using the words of the songs, end quote. Nicole also released her self-titled debut EP on June 24th. She made her Grand Ole Opry debut on June 18th. Quote, I started doing secular music, end quote, Nicole said. Quote, I play the ukulele, and that's how I wrote most of my songs. Eventually, I became a worship leader, and when I became a worship leader, I realized how different it is when Jesus is involved. I started to realize that I wanted to write songs about the Lord. So I started writing songs, and that turned into me somehow making my way to Nashville to write songs about other people. A record label offered me a deal, and now here I am on tour with Jeremy Camp, end quote. The first part of the I Believe tour started in the spring before a summer break. The fall portion began in September. Quote, I think just already seen what's happened on the first leg in the spring, it provides that much more excitement, end quote, Camp said. Quote, we did see some powerful nights and people's stories. The stories for me are the confirmation of what God is doing. I never wanted to play music just to play music. Music is not my life. Christ is my life, and that's why I do what I do. When you actually see God doing this, you're like, all right, I'm in. I want to get back at it and hear the stories again, end quote. It'll be the first time that Camp has performed at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. He can't remember the last time he's performed in Midland, but he enjoys coming back to the Lone Star State. Quote, Texas is my favorite place to play because the people are always incredible, end quote, Camp said. Quote, everything is always bigger in Texas because it is. It's the same for the hearts of Texas as well. We've never had a show in Texas where I thought it didn't go well, so there's always an excitement about playing in Texas, end quote. Camp played music growing up, even though sports were his main point of interest as a kid, but at some point his priorities shifted to music. Quote, I just started writing songs that were from my heart, end quote, Camp said. Quote, I would write on my sleeve and been very transparent about what God is teaching me and what I'm going through. Really, doors started opening for me when I went to California, end quote. He attended Bible college in the Golden State and played at the school and at worship. Quote, all of a sudden, I had these different doors that opened for me from other churches, and it got to a point where I was doing this full time, end quote, Camp said. Quote, I started thinking this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Then I got an email from a record company that had been hearing about me, and I sent them a demo and signed with them about 6 months later. But really, I just kept playing where the doors were open. I signed, and the rest is history, end quote. Some 20 years after his first album, Camp continues to do what he loves. For every artist, the writing process can be different, and Camp talked about what his thought process is like when writing new music. Quote, it's funny because it's different for me as in different types that I write, end quote, Camp said. Quote, there's been times where I'll sit down and just play the guitar, piano, and then I'll have a melody and maybe something triggering my heart like something that I'm going through, and it'll come out in that melody. The majority of how I write is me sitting down and something that I'm going through and what's in my heart will come out eventually in the lyrics, and I'll write from that perspective, end quote. Obituary. Michael Denton Mike Williams, Odessa. Michael Denton Mike Williams of Odessa passed from this life on Friday, September 29th, 2022. He began his earthly journey in Odessa, Texas on December 15th, 1963, born to Todd Michael Williams and Patricia Eileen Denton Beeman. Those left to cherish his love and memory are his wife, Veronica Williams of Odessa, daughters Ariel Elaine Williams, 12, and Hope Hannah Williams, 11, of Odessa. Sons Luke Michael Williams, 10, and Matthew Armando Sanchez, and wife Tanya Renee Sanchez of Odessa. Father T. Michael Williams and wife Arlene of Amarillo, Texas. Brothers Todd Patrick Williams and wife Mona of Odessa. Jeff Williams and wife Stacy, and Todd Williams and wife Stacy, all of Amarillo, Texas. Sisters Christy Harris of Pawnee, Illinois. Deanne and husband Todd Welch of Midland, Texas. Grandson Mason Brian Sanchez of Odessa. Mother-in-law Rebecca Terrazas of Clint, Texas. Sister-in-law Dolores Vega of Clint, Texas. Uncle Wayne Williams of Odessa, Texas. And multiple nieces, nephews, and cousins. He is preceded in death by his mother, Patricia Eileen Beeman, grandparents Todd and Velma Williams, and James and Corin Denton, father-in-law Armando Terrazas, aunt Jamie Hall, and brother-in-law Johnny Vega. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, October 14th, 2022, at Tanglewood Baptist Church, 3737 Tanglewood Lane, Odessa, Texas, 79762, with the Reverend Lindell Lee Sr. officiating. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Tanglewood Baptist Church to further the Lord's work. Death Notice. Larry Milton Namkin, Odessa. Larry Milton Namkin, 76, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 27th, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, October 7th, 2022, at Redeemer Lutheran Church. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.